Rabbi Shai Shechter is going to have to leave soon, so we would like to have him say some Divrei Torah first. You know, you get to a certain point in life, and you don't expect to make new friends that are really, really good, close, special friends. You assume that those are things that a person has from youth and that you're not going to have later on in life. So as much as I see in front of me tonight, the Kiyum of Aselucha Rav, we were able to be in the presence of Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, our great Rebbe. I also see the Kiyum of K'nei Lecha Chaver. Rabbi Shechter and I have become very close over the past couple of years, and although he is younger than I am, he is, as I'm sure most of you know, much, much wiser and a very great Talmud Chacham in his own right, and has really taken the five towns by storm over the past couple of years with his organization, his clarity, his wisdom, his sensitivity. And I don't want to keep him too long. He has a thing in the Young Israel of Woodmere because he's very much in demand this evening. But I want to thank him for coming tonight, for bringing his father tonight, and for his continued friendship and help through everything that we do. We very often compare notes and drushes, which normally means that I say, Rav Shai, what are you saying? Because I need some help. And that's generally how it goes. So it's a great covet for us to have Rav Shai Shechter share Divrei Torah with us.
I think it's interesting that my father spoke about Aniva Ho Hoshiana this evening as we celebrate a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What more appropriate way to do that? To celebrate the Torah Shebaal Peh than to celebrate with our Rebbe, to have three Talmidim who everything they have in their life is from, so clearly, from their Rebbe. Everything we have, all the Torah that we share, all the style that we present is so clearly a reflection of everything that my father has taught so many of us, but particularly the three of us who are speaking this evening. So I think with that in mind, it gives an extra special significance to a celebration of Torah Shebaal Peh this evening. That being said, thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz, for the warm friendship that we share over the years. And I have to say that if there's one thing that we all learned from my father, from the way that he taught us to teach Torah, I remember before I went to give my first year in the White Shul a couple of years ago, my father said to me that afternoon, make sure you give a knockout shiur. So I said, I don't know what exactly that means. So he said, well, the same way there's an inyan of Hiddur Mitzvah, and obviously Sukkot is a time when we think a lot about Hiddur Mitzvah in many different things that we do. In the Pre-Eitz Hadar, in our Sukkahs, we do many different things that make our mitzvahs very beautiful. But my father impressed upon me the idea and the importance of showing this concept of Hiddur Mitzvah in the way we teach Torah as well. And that is something that we all as Talmidim have gained so much from him, that my father shows us his Simchas HaTorah, his Avas HaTorah, he shows us how to present in such a beautiful way. And that's something that I chose to speak about tonight, about the aspect of Simchas HaTorah, the idea of how we're supposed to enjoy the learning that we do and the learning that we teach, the learning that we share with other people. Because in my mind, that's, I think, the greatest gift above all the Torah that my father continues to give all of us. I think the greatest gift is that he gives us a Simchas HaTorah. He explains to us what it means to have a life that's injected and infused with an enjoyment with what we do and with a love for the Torah that we study. So I just want to begin. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Samach Gimel, a very famous Gemara where the Gemara darshans from Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayom Azen Yesa La'am. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Hayom Azen Yesa La'am? Wasn't this, asked the Gemara, Besofar Ba'im Shana? This happened at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu say Hayom Azen Yesa La'am? They became an Am much earlier. So the Gemara says, Ela L'lamedcha Shechaviva Torah Alamdeha B'chol Yom V'yom K'yom Shenitna Mehar Sinai. Every single day a person should understand that when we have the incredible opportunity to learn Torah, to share Torah with one another, it is ki'ilu hayom nitna. It's the excitement of as if it was happening today, as if it was given today. The same way when a couple gets married, the first day, the chasana is the time when it's so exciting, when it's so over-exciting for everybody involved. So too, that's what we're supposed to feel every time when we interact with the Torah, every time when we have that great opportunity to share Torah. In fact, Rabbi Yonah writes, this is something that I was very struck by when I saw it. Rabbi Yonah writes in Pirkei Avos, Dalif Nemiata Amel, Ukshatami Ageya, when you're sitting and learning Torah, When you are sitting and troubling and toiling yourself in Torah, when you're working hard on it, he says you shouldn't look at it as a job. You shouldn't look at it as a difficult thing to do. Doesn't mean you should play games with it. It means you should have a delight in it. You should find it to be exciting, to be beautiful. And he says, it says about the Ribbono Shel Olam himself that when he describes Kabayachal, when he describes the experience that he, Kabayachal, has with the Torah, he says, Ve'eya shashu'im b'chol yom, that the Torah to me is considered shashu'im b'chol yom, is considered my delight, is considered my excitement. Rabbi Yonah goes on to say that, my father has told us many times that Rav Soloveitchik used to think that one of the great themes in Hashkafa is V'halachta b'tracha. We should always figure out how to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you look at this Rabbi Yonah in the second parak in Pirkei Avos, and he describes how we're supposed to have a mahu afata, the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam puts an emphasis on the shashua shel Torah, on the excitement that he, Kabayachal, has when he is involved with the Torah and engaged in everything it stands for. So we're supposed to do the same thing. When you're sitting and dealing and toiling over the Torah, you should have an excitement. It's part of what the Rav spoke about, Rav Soloveitchik, that we should always think about that idea of halachta b'drachim, and I feel this is another way where we can be mekayim b'halachta b'drachim, to sit and engage the Torah in a joyous manner, in a way which is very exciting to us. There's a fascinating halacha in Shulchan Aruch Yerudeya that was pointed out to me. I never would have found it, but Rabbi Mandelbaum from Eretz Yisrael once pointed it out to me, and once I heard it, it was just made a big impact. In Yerudeya Hilchos Nedarim, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you have a person who's muder hana mechabero, so it comes the first night of Sukkot, and he's the only one that has a lulav and esrog. I cannot use his because I need shelachem, and I cannot use his. I'm not allowed to use his lulav and esrog because he won't give it to me. Amudar anam mechaver, he will not allow me to use it. Now, what happens the second day of Yantiv when I do not need shelachem? What happens when we have the rest of the days of Yantiv and all I need is the mitzvah item, but it doesn't have to actually belong to me? So am I allowed to use that person's lulav and esrog, that person's dalad minim? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that on the rest of the days of Yom Tov, one would be allowed to use it. Why? Because Mitzvah Slav Lehenes Nitnu, the famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We all know that Mitzvah Slav Lehenes Nitnu, so therefore, the Shulchan Aruch assumes that I would be allowed to use somebody else's Dalet Minim, because that's not a violation of getting Hana Mechaver. However, there in Sif Yud Aleph, in Reish Chav Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when it comes to someone who is Noder Mechaveru, his Svarim, let's say I say you're not allowed to use my svarim, so the person would not be allowed to go ahead and use it. What do you mean? Every time I learn a sefer, it has to belong to me? So why shouldn't I be allowed to use it? The same way I'm allowed to use my friend's dalad minim. So Rabbi Mandelbaum pointed this whole piece out to me, and he said that the Taz writes in Yerudeya, they're explaining the Shulchan Aruch, why should dalad minim be different than Talmud Torah? He said the difference is because Talmud Torah is not the same as everything else. Everything else we assume, when you shake the dalad minim, whether you do it b'simcha or not, you still have the kiyum of dalad minim. So it's a little more enhanced if you do it b'simcha, it's a little more meaningful. So, when it comes to the second day of Yantiv, you need to borrow someone's dalad minim, and the person is mudra hanoa, mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as Talmud Torah without simcha, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you would not be allowed to use the svarim of somebody else as the Taz, because we would assume that would be a violation of the mudra hanoa mechavero. You would not be allowed to get the hanoa, because every time a person engages in learning, you are obviously, by the definition of learning, you are obviously having hanoa from that. I once saw my father gave me, when he was clearing out his library, one of the times. So he gave me many volumes of this beautiful Torah journal that comes out many times a year, the Beis Aaron v'Yisrael. It's a Torah journal from Stalin. I would recommend it to anybody. It's really a great masterpiece to look into. So in one of those svarim, I saw an incredible insight from the Ger Rebbe, from the Beis Yisrael, where he first introduces a Kli Yakar, where the Kli Yakar writes that Esav has this debacle with his brother, and he has this whole issue with him. And he says he doesn't think it's respectful to go and kill his brother while his father is still alive. That will give so much agmas nefesh to Yitzchak. So he says, Yikrubu yimei evalavi vaharga asachi. I'm going to go and kill my brother after my father passes away. Why? Pashtus is because I don't want to make my father have a heart attack that I'm going to kill my brother. That will be a terrible thing to do. So I'm going to wait till he dies. So the Kli Yakar there points out, no, that's not the reason. That's the way we all understood till now, that he doesn't think it's respectful to do it while Yitzchak is still alive. Says the Kli Yakar, no. You know why, Yikrubi, you may have a lovey, and then I'm going to go and kill my brother? This is the reason why, says the Kli Yakar, because we know that an Avil is Aser B'Talmud Torah. How is Esav going to actually accomplish murdering his brother if the Schus HaTorah is always going to be making on his brother? Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam Yoshev Ahalam, he's always learning. So how am I going to kill him? So the Kli Yakar writes, I'm going to wait till the father dies. Once the father dies, Avil Aser B'Talmud Torah, says the Kli Yakar, Esav is a big lambda, and he says, that's when I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get him when he doesn't have the Schus HaTorah. Ask the Ger Rebbe an incredible question. This is what I saw in the Beis Aharon v'Yisrael. He says, what do you mean? We know that an Avil is Mutar B'Talmud Torah. Avil is allowed to learn Dvar Maram Shir B'Yirmiya. Avil is allowed to learn Hilchos Avelos. He's allowed to learn the Kinnas. He's allowed to learn all the things that are depressing to him. So why is it Esav comes up with a Lamdash of Shat? He's going to go and kill his brother during the Avelos of Yitzchak HaTzadik. Why of Yitzchak Avinu? Because during the Avelos, Yaakov's not going to have the Schus HaTorah to watch over him. How's that going to help? Yaakov Avinu, you think he was sitting and telling jokes during the Avelos, during the Shiva? Of course not. Yaakov Avinu was sitting there, probably sitting over a Shulchan Aruch here a day, learning Hilchos Avelos, probably learning Dvar Maram Shabbi Yirmiya. Sure, he was learning all those things, so he had the Schus HaTorah during Avelos also. The Kasha of the Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael answered the Kasha, he said, but what kind of mindset do you think Yaakov is going to be in? Torah that's learned without Simcha is not making on a person. He suggested that has to be the Pshat and the Kli Yaakov, because otherwise, what was Esav thinking? You think Yaakov wasn't going to be learning during the Shiva? Of course he would. But what kind of learning was that going to be? That wasn't going to be the quality of learning that Yaakov Avinu was used to learning with. Yes, he was the Ishtam Yosheva Halam, and yes, obviously, even while he was sitting Shiva, of course he was going to be learning. But a learning that's missing the Simchas HaTorah component, that element of the learning is not there. That's not the kind of Torah, that's not the kind of learning that could be megan over a person and save them from all the terrible tragedies that can befall them in life. It's been quoted many times that Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahara, as well as the Avnei Nezer, write the very same idea, that when we have, the Levush writes it also in Hilchos Birchos HaTorah, that when it comes to the aspect of Simcha and many different mitzvahs, it's not the same. Talmud Torah is not the same as any other mitzvah. Yes, it's a nice idea to have Simcha in every mitzvah that we do, and it's a nice idea to have Simcha when we learn Torah also, but it's not the same idea. The Avnei Nezer stresses the fact that the people are foolish when they think that it takes away from the Lishma aspect of the Liman HaTorah. They think it takes away when you enjoy the Torah that you're learning. He says, no, it's a mistake. Iker Gadol, the main point of Talmud Torah is that we should enjoy the experience that we have, that we should have the opportunity to engage the Torah in a way which makes us happy, which makes us feel satisfied and excited about it. We know the Gemara tells us, V'shinantam levanecha, and the Gemara says, Shiyehe divrei Torah mechudadim meficha, that we have this mitzvah, we have a mandate that we should all know the Torah so well that it should be mechudadim mefino. I see I'm the only one who came tonight with notes. Apparently everybody else is mechudadim mefihem. So I want to work on it. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Shem Yishalcha Adam Al Tegamgim, if somebody's going to ask you a question, you should know the Torah well enough that you won't make any mistakes. In fact, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that when you have Kala Shacheach Davar Echad Mimishnah, so if you have somebody who forgets even one word of Torah, Harezim Eschai Benafshu. So how can it be? What does the Torah expect of us? So how does the Torah expect that I'm going to remember every piece of Torah that I ever learned? I'm going to remember every single thing I ever studied in my life? How can I have such an expectation for anybody? It's impossible. So they say in the name of the Chafetz Chaim that they asked this question to him. And he said the answer is that the Pasuk says, Ki im besoros Hashem cheftzo. If you consider the Torah to be a prized possession, if you consider the Torah to be something that you cherish, that you love so much, then how can you ever forget it? Would you ever forget your children's names? Would you ever forget your own birthday? Said the Chafetz Chaim, you don't forget things that you love. You don't forget things that are such an integral part of the life that you live. And therefore, said the Chafetz Chaim, if you would have the proper perspective on what the Torah really is supposed to mean to you, then you would never have a question of, how could it be that the Torah expects me to remember everything I ever learned? How could it be Al Tegamgim? How could it be that the Torah expects that when somebody asks me a question, I'm not going to have to look it up and I'm not going to have to think twice about it because I'm going to know the answer right away? Of course, says the Chafetz Chaim, if the attitude that we had toward the Torah was, Ki im besoros Hashem cheftzo, then we would never have such questions, we would never have such problems. In fact, I saw the Radak writes in Tehillim on one of the psukim there that talks about our attitude, besorosecha eshtasheya, that we're supposed to have that shashua, that attitude of delight in Torah. So he says, it's an incredible line. The Radak writes, this is Lashon, Kasher ani misbonen bahem, when I think, when I deal with the Torah, when I learn it, ani mishtasheya bahem. I have that experience of having shashua, of having delight when I engage with the Torah. Ulefikach, he says, lo eshkachem. That's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim said. Ulefikach lo eshkachem, says the Radak. Because I have that perspective, because I have that attitude every time I sit down to learn, lefikach, says the Radak, lo eshkachem. Therefore, I don't forget it. How does the Torah expect of me that I'm not going to forget my learning? Because I have that perspective and I have that attitude. Ki heim li lesason ulesimchas levav, says the Radak. Because my approach to Liman HaTorah every time I have that opportunity to learn is always, La'oneg is always Lehishtasheya, and that's why he says that he never has a problem of forgetting his learning. That's what the Radak writes about himself. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a very interesting question where he says that you look through the Torah, you have on a couple of different occasions the Jewish people sing Shira. They come out of Mitzrayim, Agulaseinu Malpudus Nafshenu, we sing Shira. The Rachaim points out the Shira Sabaer. We have a couple of opportunities through the Midbar where the Jewish people were saved, where they had a miracle, and they sang Shira in praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracle that they were given. So he points out, how could it be that the most consequential event that ever happened in the history of the Jewish people was not Kriyas Yamsuf? The most critical event was Maamon Har Sinai. So how could it be that they didn't respond also with a Shira? We have Shira Sayam, we have Shira Sabaer, we have other things, Shira, that were so praiseworthy, we're so thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how could it be? We don't sing Shira when we get the Torah? We don't sing Shira at Har Sinai? How could it be that wasn't our immediate response, it wasn't our reaction? How's that possible? Explains the Arachayim HaKadosh, because the Torah itself is Shira. It reminds me, like Rav Asher Weiss once said to me, in the context of this Arachayim, so he said, it's like, you know, the some Mefarshim asked, why do we not make a Birchas HaMitzvah before we bench? Right? So they say, because you don't make a bracha on a bracha. Right? Why don't you make a bracha before you drink the Dalet Kosos on Leil HaSeder? Because you don't make a bracha before reciting a bracha. Yes, it's true. The Chacham said we should go and drink Dalet Kosos Leil HaSeder. Yes, it's true that the Torah tells us we should bench after we eat a meal, but it doesn't make sense to make a bracha on a bracha. So that's the way Rav Asher Weiss explained to me this Arachayim HaKadosh also. You don't sing Shira on a Shira. The Torah itself is the Shira. You don't make up a Shira for the Shira that you were just given. So therefore, if we had the approach that the Torah itself is always a Shira to us, if this is the Shashua Shel Chayenu, if this is the life that we live, this is the delight that we have, we would never have such questions, why don't we sing a Shira on the Shira? That wouldn't make sense. The same way we don't make a Bracha on a Bracha, we don't sing a Shira on a Shira. The Gemara has the famous encounter, the famous discussion that took place between Yehoshua ben Nun and the Malach. As we know, Yehoshua ben Nun goes out to war, and the Malach comes to him, Sar Tzeva comes to him, in the Malach comes in the form of a Sar Tzeva, in the form of a general and of an army, and he comes to Yehoshua ben Nun and he says, what's going on? Emesh bitaltam tamid shel ben arbaim. Yesterday you were mevatel the tamid, and now you're doing something even worse. How can you do that? And Yehoshua ben Nun asked the Malach, Aleza basi, what are you coming about? Are you upset about the fact that we are mevatel the tamid, or you're upset about the fact that we didn't learn Torah? Which one is upsetting you? And the Tosfos there points out, what exactly is the question that Yehoshua ben Nun presents? Yehoshua ben Nun is asking, are you upset about the fact that we forgot to learn Torah, and the Torah says, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. So you have to go ahead and learn the Torah. Is that why you're upset? We went out to war and we forgot about Torah Tzivalonu Moshe? And the Malach responds, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos. I'm upset about the fact that you're mevatel Torah, because it says, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos. So Rav Asher Weiss once told me, he says, I don't understand. Yehoshua ben Nun asked him, are you upset because Torah Tzivalonu Moshe? And he answers him back, the Malach says, yeah, it says, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos. Why doesn't he answer the question? Yes. Yes, the reason I'm coming to you, the reason I'm upset is because Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. You had a chiyuv to learn Torah and you didn't do that. So why does the Malach answer him from a different pasuk? From Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos? So he suggested that perhaps the reason is, when you think about strict halacha l'maisa, is a person mechuyev to learn Torah when they're engaged in a melchama? It's a melchamas mitzvah. Osik mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. What do you think? Yehoshua ben Nun was just doing a melchama for fun? Of course not. He was osik ben mitzvah, so he's patur from Talmud Torah. So Yehoshua ben Nun asked the Malach, why are you upset at me? You're upset because it says Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, I had a chiyuv to learn Torah and I didn't? The Malach says to him, no, that's not why I'm upset. I'm upset because the Torah says, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. And if your attitude toward the Torah would be Shira hazos, if you would appreciate the fact that the Torah is kihem chayenu, that the Torah is something that's supposed to give us an excitement, it doesn't matter that osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, you would have learned Torah anyway. The Malach doesn't answer his question and say, yeah, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, you should have been learning. That's not what he says. He says to him, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos, because that is what we're supposed to be feeling every time we learn the Torah. Like the Maharal, they quote, the Maharal asks all the different questions, why is it on Leil HaSeder that we have different rules for the Shira that we sing on Leil HaSeder than the Hallel that we have throughout the year? Why is it that Hallel we do Yeshiva on Leil HaSeder when normally Hallel is supposed to be done Ma'umad? Why is it we sing Hallel at night? Normally Hallel has to be done by Yom, the Mishnah and Megillah Daf Chav. So the Maharal answers the question. He says, no, because the definition of Shira is that it's supposed to come spontaneously out of one's heart. It's supposed to just come forth, and therefore we sit down while we sing it because this wasn't a planned Shira. We're so thankful for the experience on Leil HaSeder that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, so the Shira just comes out by itself and we don't follow all the regular rules. That's exactly what the Malach was saying to Yehoshua ben Nun. I'm not coming to you and asking, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, how come you didn't learn last night? I'm asking you, Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos. If the definition of Shira is something that just comes forth, it's something that just comes out, it's something that naturally we're supposed to express ourselves in a way when we have such an overwhelming emotion, toward the Torah that we learn, then how, Yehoshua ben Nun, did you not take that opportunity last night? It doesn't matter, you were involved in a machama, but you should have been learning anyway, ki hem chayenu. Because that's the life, that's the perspective you're supposed to have every time you engage yourself with the Torah. The Gemara says in the Nedarim that the Gemara shalu neviim, and they weren't shama of the aretz. So, the famous Gemara, everyone quotes it at the time of Tisha B'Av, everyone discusses it. So, the Gemara comes to the maskana there, alazu mes tarasi, shalabarcha batara tchila. Like, Klal Yisrael didn't make berchas hatara. So, the Ran already asked the question, what does it mean? Shalabarcha batara tchila, is that a reason to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Is that a reason for a churban? And everyone says Torah, everyone says a pshat. So, Rav Asher Weiss once said in a shir, a fascinating insight. Why doesn't it say Shalabarch HaBatara? Everyone knows you make a Berch HaSatara before you learn. Why does it say Shalabarch HaBatara Tchila? What's that key word there? What is that coming to add to the whole discussion that the Gemara has? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Shalabarch HaBatara should have been the end of the sentence. Why do we add Tchila? So he suggested maybe the reason is, based on a story he told over about Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz. He said Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz came to shul one day, and everyone used to crowd around when he was saying the Berch HaShachar in the morning. Everyone was listening carefully to say Amen. And they hear, he says, this bracha, that bracha, everyone's answering Amen, he leaves that Shaloh Asani Goy. So they thought he forgot. Everyone was too embarrassed to correct him, so no one said anything. So davening moved on, and then people waited till the next day. He came back the next day, everyone's crowding around when he says the brachas, and again, he leaves that Shaloh Asani Goy. So they thought, maybe he gave in to the Haskalah, maybe he doesn't believe in Shaloh Asani Goy anymore, maybe he thinks that we shouldn't say the bracha anymore. So people started getting nervous. So what do you do when you have a problem with the rabbi? You go to the president. So the president has the... No. So...
We don't have that issue.
There's no president? So they go to the president, the Rosh HaKol, and they say to him, well, you got to call in Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz and ask him, what's going on? You know, we've been listening to your davening, you're leaving out Shaloh HaSanagoy, it's starting to make some members of the community nervous, there must be something up here. So the person doesn't know how's he going to go and confront him. Yonasan Aibishitz, Gadol HaDor, how's he going to go into him and discuss this issue of Shaloh HaSanagoy? He says, you know, we must be hearing things. Let's try again one more day. So they go the next day, and lo and behold, he misses the bracha Shaloh HaSanagoy again. So finally the president says, I don't have a choice. So he knocks on his door that evening. He says, you know, b'mechilas kvod de Rosh Hashiva, b'mechilas kvod de Rav, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, we have a little bit of an issue. There's a big tumult in the community. Everyone thinks that you're going into the Haskalah now, and you leave out the bracha of Shaloh HaSanagoy. Can you maybe explain what's the story? How come you're leaving it out? Yonasan Aibishitz jumps out of his chair and he says to them, when I wake up in the morning and I realize how blessed I am to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Torah, you think I have time to wait till I get to shul to say Shaloh HaSanagoy? I jump out of bed, the first thing I do is I say, Baruch Hashem, Shaloh HaSanagoy. What a great opportunity we have that we can spend our entire day, our entire lives engaged, involved in mitzvahs every from the moment we wake up till the minute we go to sleep. You think I'm going to wait till I get to shul to say Shaloh HaSanagoy? I have to say the second I wake up, the second I get out of bed. And that, said Rav Asher Weiss, is perhaps what the Gemara means. Shaloh Baruch HaBatara, it's not that they didn't make a Berachas HaTara, it's Shaloh Baruch HaBatara Tchila. That they didn't understand the excitement that a person's supposed to have the minute you wake up to make the Berachas HaTara, to understand what a gift it is that we have the opportunity to engage ourselves with the Torah, to learn its mitzvahs, to understand everything that the Torah stands for, to live by all those values, to understand everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us. That's what it means, Shaloh Baruch HaBatara Tchila. It's not that they left out the brachas, that they missed that perspective of the Simchas HaTara, of the Avas HaTara, of the pure and deep love that everyone is supposed to have whenever they involve themselves with the Torah HaKadosha. Let's just close. There's a question that Rav Asher Weiss once told me as well from the Kloizenberger Rebbe that he asked, why is it that we find two psukim that talk about dvash and challah, but it has it in two different orders? One pasuk says, dvash v'challah tachas l'shonech. When it's talking about limud haTorah, it says, dvash v'challah tachas l'shonech. The Torah should be to you like the sweetest thing. It should be so beautiful. It should be so amazing, like dvash and challah. And you have another pasuk when it describes Eretz Yisrael. It says, Eretz zavas challah v'dvash. So which one is it? Is it challah v'dvash or is it dvash v'challah? Why does the Torah in one place put the dvash first and the other place it puts the challah first? So the Kloizenberger Rebbe had his own suggestion, but Rav Asher Weiss told me a different suggestion, which I think is just a great way to recap everything that we've said perhaps this evening. And that is, when you talk about the virtues of Eretz Yisrael, when you're trying to convince a people that they should go live in a new land that they know nothing about, so first you have to convince them that the land has all the essentials. First you have to make them believe that all the fundamental needs that they're going to need when they get there are going to be provided for them. So you tell them, don't worry, it's an Eretz Zavas Chalav, it has milk, it has butter, it has everything that you're going to need, all the essentials. And not only that, you should know that it also has dvash. It also has the sweets. It also has the extra special things that are not really essential, but that's what God's going to give you also, on top of everything else, on top of all the essentials, you're going to have that. When we talk about Talmud Torah, the first and most important thing that we need to highlight whenever we engage the Torah is not the chalav. The first thing that we need to think about whenever we talk about Talmud Torah is dvash v'chalav tachas l'shamah. That first we need to recognize the fact that the Torah is sweet. Before we involve ourselves, before we get completely engaged and engrossed in the Torah, in the chalav itself, in the essential, in the meat and potatoes of what the Torah is all about, we first need to remind ourselves of that perspective that Torah is mesukim midvash v'nafas tzufa. That the Torah is something, it's dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech, because without that excitement, we can never really properly get too involved, because it's something that it's going to taper off. We're not going to be so engaged with it. We're not going to be so interested if we don't understand the sweetness, the beauty, and the splendor that the Torah is really supposed to be about. So, again, I echo the sentiment of Rabbi Leibowitz, that he gives all of us a great Simchas HaTorah, a great Avos HaTorah from the Torah that he teaches in this community, from the Torah that he's mashpi on all of us, and it's something that we're all very grateful to my father for imparting to all of us, to all of his Talmidim, and certainly to all of us who try our best to teach Torah in the nicest way that we possibly can, and with our Hiddur Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So this is something that is a very important theme that we've all picked up, and the Ani B'ho Hoshiyana that represents itself this evening, it's a very important theme that all of us take very seriously. I wish everyone a good Yom Tov.
I left that part of my drawer. My notes.